Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bakersfield, California. In 1993, he helped found the nu metal band Korn as its guitarist. In 2005, he left the band and became a born-again Christian. And in 2013, he rejoined Korn. In 2018, a movie about his life, Loud, Crazy Love, was released. His autobiography is entitled Save Me From Myself. His name, Brian Head Welch. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Brian Head Welch, who helped found the band Korn as its guitarist. Brian, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be on your show.
Can we start by you offering an opening prayer this evening?
Yes, for sure. I'd love to. Thank you. Lord, you know, I just come to you, and when I think about the world and everything, there's been a lot of people, you know, hurt in the name of religion. And I just thank you that you are the real God of love. And, you know, we are basing everything off of spirit and life and no religion. It's all relationship with you. And I thank you for dying on the cross so that humanity can come into relationship with you. Just be in this conversation in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are right. Our best friend ever is Jesus. So, all right, let's start with talking about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I grew up in Bakersfield, California, and all that was there are oil fields, cotton fields, and country music. That's all I remember. And so what happened was my parents were pretty much into the country music scene a little bit. You know, not much, but they weren't real music connoisseurs, if you will. But they leaned towards the country music. And, of course, I rebelled and got into heavy metal. You know, I didn't want the same music as my parents, you know. So I got into AC/DC growing up, Iron Maiden, all this heavy metal, Motley Crue, and bands like that. And, yeah, my parents owned a gas station, Chevron gas station. It was actually a truck stop / gas station / diner, and that's what they did. And they were very supportive of me, though, in music. They didn't like heavy metal but at all. They would always tell me to turn it down, but they were supportive in me starting to play guitar at 10 years old, acoustic first, and then probably 6 months after, an electric. And I got to work at the gas station and save up money for music and albums and all the things that I was into. It was, you know, we had our good times and we had our issues. You know, my parents were good parents, though. My dad was like, he coached a soccer team, took us on vacations and whatnot, but he did have another side where he drank, you know, a little bit and had anger and a little bit of rage that us kids were afraid of. So, but overall, he was a good dad and they were good parents.
Where did you get the nickname Head?
I actually got that name growing up in Bakersfield when I was young, probably 12, 13. It was very, it hurt my feelings growing up because they made me feel, it was bullying. It was some, quote, friends that I had that would just make fun of me. I was like I was the easy target, and they would make fun of me. They would just say mean things to me, and call me this and that, call me fat, call my head big, and so they made me feel like I was a freak of nature. You know how kids, you're growing up, you know, words can really shift a kid's self-worth, and that really happened. But the name Head came because my head grew before my body, I guess the joke is. But everything kind of lined up. I still got a big head, but I grew into it, if you will.
All right. Let's talk about the universal language. Brian, how do you explain the magic of music?
Wow. You know, it is very powerful. And to see so many people drawn into one thing, you know, one piece of art, and it make so many people feel something special. It really is a gift from God. I mean, I found that early on. And I want to say that I wasn't only into heavy metal. Like, I was just drawn into music. And I mean, I would hear songs from like Pat Benatar and Journey, Don't Stop Believing, and that whole album Escape, and, you know, Tom Petty and bands like that. And then there was the harder bluesy stuff like AC/DC. But music just touched me, and there were so many others that loved that music. If you just think about AC/DC, that Back in Black album was like the one of the best-selling albums of all time. And so I was drawn into that at 10 years old with so many other people, and it just made us feel something so, so magical, like you said, and all music. And I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's such a gift that I knew I wanted to do that the rest of my life. And I didn't know how, I didn't know with who, I didn't know where. I just knew I wanted to do music and make a living at it and not do anything else.
What makes a great song for Brian Head Welch?
Honestly, it just has to make me feel something. And to be very honest, I'm like a softy when it comes to melody. And, you know, if it has something very melodic, it draws me in big time. You know, I even got into R&B, Whitney Houston, even Boys to Men. And I wouldn't tell my friends because they would make fun of me, but I just, you know, I was very intrigued by vocals too, hence to Steve Perry and you know, all these other metal bands with the guys would sing so high and everything, but the soft and gentle melodies were really pleasant to me. And that's a great song is just great melody, great lyrics that actually mean something. You know, lyrics are poetry. You know, and if it's heavier music, something, you know, something powerful, a lyric that's very powerful and makes me feel energy, you know. So it could be all kinds of different, you know, styles of music or whatever. It just has to have something special lyrically, I guess, a hook, as you call it, and some great melody or energy to it.
We're talking to Brian Head Welch. When we come back, we'll ask him how the new metal band Korn came to be. And I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Brian Head Welch. Brian, 1993. Let's go back. You helped found the new metal band Korn as its guitarist. How did it come to be?
Well, I actually met our singer, Jonathan Davis. I knew of him. We weren't friends, but he was in third grade, and I was in fourth grade. I met the bass player, Reggie Arvizu, in seventh grade. I met the other guitar player, James Schaefer, in ninth grade, and the drummer in 10th grade. So we we knew each other as kids. We weren't real close all the time, but we knew each other. And somehow, as destiny would call us to, we regrouped 2 hours south of Bakersfield, California, in Los Angeles. And we all ended up reconnecting and moving to the L.A. area, Huntington Beach, California, in Orange County, actually. It's about 45 minutes from L.A. That's where we lived. That's where we met. That's where we relocated from Bakersfield. And we formed under the Huntington Beach Pier. And we were talking about different band names. And Korn came to the conversation from our singer. And we just thought it was just stupid at first. And then he mentioned misspelling the word corn with a K and a backwards R. And that kind of, I don't know what, but it intrigued us a little bit more. And we ended up calling the band that. And we had a sound that was just different. You know, we had very low tuned metal guitars, you know. Actually, Steve Vai, the legendary guitar player, came up with the 7-string guitar, and it didn't catch on. It was going out of manufacturing, actually, and a band, Korn, formed their band with 7-string guitars, and, you know, we pretty much got signed about a year in after forming. And we just wrote songs the best we could and played clubs, and our live show was very energetic, and people just loved the live show mainly. You know, we were not polished. We didn't have the best songs yet, but our live show was what drew the crowd, and the record companies followed the crowd to see us. And then once we got signed, we got a producer into the studio, and that was it. We got polished up. Learned how to write, you know, re-edit the songs that we had and write some new ones. And we put together a record that is one of, I guess a lot of people say, the new metal, the start of the new metal sound, our first record. And, so we're very proud of it. And it's just crazy how it happened. Honestly, I just am very thankful for it as I look back.
You've had phenomenal success with the band. How would you describe your relationship with God and Jesus in those early years?
So, I'd say around 12 years old, I mentioned to you earlier about getting bullied, and it was really around 7th, 8th grade, in between towards the end of the school year in 7th grade, and in the summer between 7th and 8th grade was really bad for me. And I was bullied, like, really bad at that time in my life. And I had a friend that became my friend. He was a neighbor that lived probably, you know, 2-minute bike ride down my street around the corner. And I somehow connected with him, and they invited me to come hang out with him, ride bikes with him, and ride motorcycles. We had, like, I had a YZ80, Yamaha YZ80, and these kids had little, like, Suzuki 80, or the other one had, a RM80. We went riding motorcycles, and I got up. They were, like, God sent to me to get me away from the bullies. Because the bullies were, like, we were into the same music and everything, but they, like I said, I was the easy target, and I was the weak one, and they would just gang up on me. And then they would actually apologize and everything, but it really was, you know, it was really messed with my head and stuff. So these other kids took me in. We rode motorcycles. Next thing you know, I'm at one of the kids' house after riding motorcycles, and his family just are amazing, you know. And my family, me and my brother, we hated each other growing up, and when we were in teenagers, it was really bad. And, we fought a lot, and my dad at that time was going through it. He was a lot more angry, you know, when I was in my early teens or preteens or whatever. And him and my mom didn't get along that great, and it was just like walking on eggshells. So this family told was just a breath of fresh air for me, and I'd be at their house every day. And I found out they were Christians, and my friend Kevin would tell me about Jesus, and then his mom one day just told me like how to receive Jesus into your heart, and that he's the savior of the world, and that he loves us. And you know, she didn't talk about any scary things about God. You know, growing up, when I was really young, we went to Episcopal church a couple times. You know, my mom brought us, but it never clicked for any of us. My dad didn't like it. Me and my brother hated church. It was just scary, you know, and it seemed dark and you know, I don't know. It just wasn't inviting for a kid. But you know, after hearing about Jesus and how loving he is from my friend's mom, and I was drawn to it. I just listened. I didn't respond much, and she told me I could ask him in my heart. So later that night, I went home, and I asked Jesus in my heart. I was watching Friday the 13th, and that was a horror movie where there was a lot of blood and killings, and it couldn't escape my mind and not my heart. And I turned the movie off, and I went and I asked Jesus in my heart, and that was it. I didn't even tell my friend or his mom. They found out about 30 years later when I was all over the media talking about being a Christian, and they were a part of my story. 30 years later, my story was them telling me about Jesus, and that seed planted, and it came back, you know, all that time later.
All right, in Korn, phenomenal success, 40 million plus records, but you guys you found the meth, you found the coke. Why did you need the meth, the coke, etc.?
You know, the crazy thing is when I started getting into my first band, when I formed my first band, we were like 15 years old, and we went right to alcohol and band, and playing in a band was like, it was right away. You know, they went together very well. And, you know, everybody in my band, parents drank, or at least one parent drank, you know? And, so we were around it. We knew about it. And once we tried it and felt that buzz or whatever, we started drinking at an early age. Every weekend from when I was 15 on, unless I had the flu or something, I drank with friends. And then I actually didn't try hard drugs till I was in my early 20s. I made it so, you know, so far without hard drugs. And, you know, I think I tried coke once and I didn't like it. And then the meth thing was like, it was worse than the coke. I didn't start doing it every day then, but I started doing it every once in a while, and then a little bit of more. And then when we started the band, about 3 out of 5 of us in the band started doing meth. And that dark, dark road was so dark that I ended up just, we had so much success. I had my own tour bus with one security guard. So I was in the back bedroom of my tour bus doing meth and, you know, lying to people saying I was okay. And they were asking me, you know, you don't look right. Da, da, da. I just lied to them, you know, and after 2 years is when I ended up being I got into a business relationship with real estate with some new friends. I was a functioning meth addict, and they happened to be Christian. So God led me to another set of Christians all these decades later, and they invited me to go to church with them, and I went, and a whole new world opened up to me.
We're talking to Brian Head Welch. When we come back, we're going to ask him to go back to January 9th, 2005. And I'm Jack Brazil, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Brian Head Welch. If you want to learn more, www.loudcrazywithaklove.com. Loudcrazywithaklove.com. Okay, Brian, let's go. January 9th, 2005, I quote you, "I came to Christ." Talk about that day.
Wow, the best day of my life. I was talking about a new friendship that I started with. Got invited to buy some land and develop a neighborhood, or, you know, open a develop a commercial district in real estate. And it was this guy that lived in Bakersfield. I had moved back to Bakersfield at that time, and my parents were helping me raise my daughter. I had a 5-year-old at the time, and yeah, I was a functioning drug addict. And these guys, a family, actually, a husband, wife, and a couple kids. And they kind of, like, you know, took me in, and I was drawn to the guy. He was cool. He built, like, hot rods. He built just these awesome cars, you know, and he would win car shows and everything. And he happened to be a Christian. The family were Christians, and they weren't at all what I thought Christians would be. You know, I just thought that Christians were, I don't know, Ned Flanders from The Simpsons, you know, just kind of nerdy and happy-go-lucky, not a whole lot of excitement in their life, but this guy was, like, doing cool stuff, and they invited me to go to church, you know, and at first I just blew them off, you know, and then next thing you know, I said yes, and I was in between tours, and I was doing meth a lot, and every night, pretty much, And so that night before church, I was going to make a plan to get some sleep and not do the drugs all day, you know, but I didn't. And I ended up staying up all night, and they picked me up, and I was really just sketched out from the drugs. But I got into their car, and I went. I was scared. I was, like, very paranoid, you know, and I was trying to play it off like normal, but I was, you know, zero sleep. And I took a couple of Xanax to come down from the speed, but I'm sure that made me look even worse. And I got into the church, and there's a song called Majesty. Sing about the kingship of Jesus and how his grace finds us just like we are, empty-handed and alive in his hands, the lyrics say. And I walked in there, a millionaire and very successful in music at the time, but I was empty-handed, and I had zero life in my soul. I was an empty shell walking around with no substance inside. And I walked in, and I talked to you earlier about melody and music and the magic of music we talked about earlier. And that song and the magic of the melody and the lyrics just drew me in, and I was, before a word was spoken from the pastor, I was feeling what I know now as the presence of God, and it felt like love, shalom, peace. It felt like just mercy, and you know what it felt like? It was the atmosphere of, like, kindness, like loving kindness, and it was just drawing me in. And I just was, at first I thought I just liked the song, you know, like, oh, I love the melody. But it was a feeling I never felt before from a song. And so they play a few songs, that ends, and the pastor gets up and he starts speaking. And he just said the words that were just perfect for me. And he talked about how he used to be an alcoholic, and he was abusive to his wife. She left him. He begged God to give his wife back to him, and if he did, he would give his life to him. He grew up Christian but ran away from it. And God restored his marriage, healed his wife because he had injured his wife in a drunken physical fight, and restored everything. And he gave his life to God, and there he was talking about how he used to be a mess. And I had never heard that from Christians, really, you know, ever. I don't remember hearing that, you know, admitting to being a complete mess, you know. And so hearing his story And then he talked about the Spirit of God coming to live inside of you as the Spirit of Jesus, and it mixes with our human spirit. So our life, our human life, mixed with Jesus's life, and that's how the relation starts. And it's all in interior, in the inner spirit and soul of a human, and it's available for everyone. And I just listened, and I was like, either this guy has the answer for my problems right now, or this is a weird, strange, cult-like church, and I got to get away from it. But the feeling was too overwhelming, you know, like I said, with the song, so I decided to try it. I raised my hand at the end of the service, and I prayed for Jesus to come in, and I had immediately started talking to people about the encounter I had with the family when I was 12 years old, and they started encouraging me, like, you know, that was God reaching out to you. You didn't walk with him your whole life, and he's calling you back to himself. And if you learn his ways by reading the Bible, getting together with Christians and learning together what God teaches, and praying every day, worshiping God, just living your life with God, and slowly laying down your sins, you know, over time, and your life will completely change. And I put it to the test, and it completely worked.
We're talking to Brian Head Welch, and I'm Jack Crystal, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Brian Head Welch, who was a multimillionaire, hooked on meth, etc. Then he turns his life over to Christ. He leaves the band Korn in 2005, which he eventually came back 8 years later. But Brian, you learned to totally trust God. And in preparation of this, I was reading the other day, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the second half of your life, Brian. Does it really work?
Oh my gosh, it's the meaning of life. If people are looking and searching for the meaning of life, to me, that scripture is the meaning of life. And, you know, we're in this world and we're stressed and we're burdened, and, you know, and there's a mixture. You know, people have fun, you know, and people hopefully have happiness, but there's so much other burdens and pain. And if we're not wrapped up in pain and going through some big tribulation, then it's coming one day. And just what that scripture means to me is the heaviness that comes with life. If we give it to Jesus and we come into union with him, which is sharing one life, and he pours his spirit into us, that he will give us rest in all of these heavy burdens, whether it's the sins of life that we were wrapped up in, like I was, my sins got me, my addictions got me into this dungeon. I was rich, I had millions of dollars, but I was in a cage and I was burdened, heavy burdened. I was suicidal in my mind and I needed that rest. I needed him to give me rest from my suicidal thoughts and my addictions and my heavy depression. And so I came into that union and I took his yoke, you know, and he took me into this walk with him that really changed everything. And I came into my sound mind and I came into a forgiveness for my father who hurt me growing up, the bullies that did this and that, my ex-wife who left me in the family, and myself for doing so much damage to myself. I had to forgive myself. And so I just did everything the Bible said I went and did. And I the soul that dies willingly and lays things down will come alive for the first time. And it's like no other time in your life. And I died to everything that I knew. And Jesus was so faithful to resurrect my mind, resurrect my emotions, resurrect my will to live, resurrect my love for my daughter, and just be the best version of me that I could be mixed in union with Christ. It took a while. Some things took a while. And, you know, I got a little bit fanatical with Christianity at first. I loved Jesus, but, you know, I was a little bit crazy at first. And my daughter did suffer a little bit with some issues that I had, like anger. I took on, like, I inherited my dad's anger, and that took about 7 years to get away. So, you know, we still have some things we've worked through recently, you know, that I did that were not, you know, good, you know. But I didn't walk away from God. I was mad at him sometimes because he didn't change me quick enough. But he's restored everything and is continuing to restore everything in my life. And it's just amazing. It really, really works.
Brian, if there's a listener tonight that says, Brian, in many, many ways, you just described my life. But I'm a control freak. I'm afraid to surrender to God. Brian, how do I begin to surrender?
You just don't have to do it alone. There's people that God will lead you to that will help you, that have done it before and will help you. There's a song called Sweetly Broken, and it's like a strength that God gives you to surrender. And if you have the courage to walk away from the people in your life that are a bad influence and that make it easy for you to go the wrong way in life, if you can let go of them, even for a season, months, years, a few years, God will even restore that. But if you can find the strength to open up to the possibility for new friendships, for people that will lift you up and teach you how to surrender like they do, and, you know, some people that have walked through it before that can help you, if you just allow other people in your life, they can help you, and you don't have to do it alone. And that's what I did. And, you know, I was done because I was going to kill myself probably, you know? And so I was like, I don't care. I'll do this. I want to live. I want my daughter to have a father, you know? So I would do anything and everything, but, you know, some people have a harder time surrendering. So I would just, I really encourage them to not do it alone and to find people that God brings into their life to help them.
We're talking to Brian Head Welch. His autobiography is entitled Save Me From Myself. We mentioned your documentary, Loud Crazy Love. What's the message of that documentary, Brian?
The message is unconditional love and restoration. It's the scripture where God says, He's going to restore all things. I think it's in the book of Hebrews. It talks about the restoration of all things. And if you invite God into your life and take the steps to grow in relationship with Him, He will restore all things in your life. And even if there's grief that you've walked through and you've lost someone, He will restore your soul and your emotions to live again. And so the restoration of all things, I fully have lived, I believe in, and I'm still living. And that's what that movie's about, is my life and my daughter's life in this crazy rock and roll world that I've lived in, and the damage done to both of us, restored by God over time.
If there's a person that says, God can forgive me, but I can't forgive myself, what do you say?
I always go back to the Bible. In the New Testament, there's a man who was persecuting Christians to their death. Mm-hmm. His name was Saul. Mm-hmm. He encountered Jesus. His name turned into Paul. He wrote, most say, like two-thirds of the New Testament. And he was helping to kill Christians. I bet everybody listening didn't even come close to doing something that bad. And God used him to write that much of the New Testament to show us how much He will forgive. And if God can forgive a man that's killing Christians and use him to write a big portion of the Bible, then He will forgive you for everything you've done. And you need to forgive yourself. If that man, Paul, can forgive himself for helping to kill Christians, the very people Jesus sent out, then you can forgive yourself for your issues. I was a bad rock star, addicted, selfish, mean guy at times. And I learned to forgive myself. If I can, then you can.
Brian, you're a shining example of how God can transform a life. Thanks for all you do. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. It was an honor being on with you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.
Believe in yourself.